Our sermon text this morning is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, the whole chapter, verses 1 through 36. Second Chronicles 29, 1 through 36. Now hear the word of the Lord. Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square and said to them, "Hear me, Levites. Now sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They have forsaken him, have turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord and turned their backs on him. They've also shut up the doors of the vestibule, put out the lamps, and have not burned incense or offered ascension offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. Therefore the wrath of the Lord fell upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has given them up to trouble, to desolation, and to jeering, as you see with your eyes. For indeed, because of this, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons, our daughters, and our wives are in captivity. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, do not be negligent, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that you should minister to him and burn incense." Then these Levites arose, Mahat the son of Amasai, and Joel the son of Azariah, of the sons of the Kohathites. Of the sons of Merari, Kish the son of Abdi, and Azariah the son of Jehalalel. Of the Gershonites, Joah the son of Zimah, and Eden the son of Joah. Of the sons of Elizaphan, Shimri and Jael. Of the sons of Asaph, Zechariah and Madaniah. Of the sons of Heman, Jehiel and Shimei, and of the sons of Jeduthun, Shemaiah and Uzziel. And they gathered their brethren, sanctified themselves, and went according to the commandment of the king at the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. Then the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the debris that they found in the temple of the Lord to the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it out and carried it to the brook Kidron. Now they began to sanctify on the first day of the first month, and on the eighth day of the month, they came to the vestibule of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and on the 16th day of the first month they finished. Then they went into King Hezekiah and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord, the altar of ascension offerings with all its articles, and the table of the showbread with all its articles. Moreover, all the articles which King Ahaz in his reign had cast aside in his transgression, we have prepared and sanctified, and there they are before the altar of the Lord." Then King Hezekiah rose early, gathered the rulers of the city, and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought 7 bulls, 7 rams, 7 lambs, and 7 male goats for a sin offering for the kingdom, for the sanctuary, and for Judah. Then he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So they killed the bulls, and the priests received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, they killed the rams and sprinkled the blood on the altar. They also killed the lambs and sprinkled the blood on the altar. Then they brought out the male goats for the sin offering before the king and the assembly, and they laid their hands on them. And the priests killed them, and they presented their blood on the altar as a sin offering to make atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the ascension offering and the sin offering be made for all Israel. And he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with stringed instruments, with harps, according to the commandment of David, of Gad the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet. For thus was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. The Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah commanded them to burn the ascension offering on the altar. And when the ascension offering began, the song of the Lord also began, with the trumpets and with the instruments of David, king of Israel. So all the assembly worshipped, the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. All this continued until the ascension offering was finished. And when they had finished offering, the king and all who were present with him bowed and worshipped. Moreover, King Hezekiah and the leaders commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. Then Hezekiah answered and said, "Now that you've consecrated yourselves to the Lord, come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord." So the assembly brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many were of a willing heart brought ascension offerings. And the number of ascension offerings which the assembly brought was 70 bulls, 100 rams, and 200 lambs. All these were for ascension offering to the Lord. The consecrated things were 600 bulls and 3,000 sheep. But the priests were too few, so they could not skin all the ascension offerings. Therefore, their brethren, the Levites, helped them until the work was ended, until the other priests had sanctified themselves. For the Levites were more diligent in sanctifying themselves than the priests. Also, the ascension offerings were in abundance with the fat of the peace offerings, or the drink offerings, for every ascension offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. Then Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced that God had prepared the people since the events took place suddenly. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we sing before your holy throne, for you are the rock of our salvation. We give you thanks and we shout joyfully with psalms. You are the great God who made the earth, the sea, and the dry land. We worship you, O God, for we are the people of your pasture and the sheep of your hand. As we hear your voice this day, soften our hearts that we would not rebel against you. And as we see and hear your work, we desire not to grieve you, but to enter into your rest. Speak to us now, O Lord, in your word by your Spirit. Give us understanding and conform us to the image of your Son. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, your words this morning, you may count how many times I say Jesus and reform. And that includes reform, reformed, or reformation. So listen closely. Jesus and reform. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you check your calendar, yesterday was October 31st, which was Reformation Day. Reformation Day is a day we as the church commemorates God's gracious working in history, specifically the mighty work he carried out in the 16th and 17th centuries, reforming his church during the Reformation. On Reformation Day, we remember the Lord's raising up saints, our fathers in the faith, to perform mighty deeds for the glory of his name and for the good of his people, for the Church of Jesus Christ. It's because on October 31st, 1517, the day Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. Now, while our celebration of Reformation Day is specific to the Reformation, the Church of Jesus Christ benefits from remembering all of history and the Lord's gracious governance of history and his church. As already prayed this day, we remember our fathers in the faith, Martin Luther, John Calvin, Martin Bucer. But Reformation has always been part of the church. So in history, we also remember Augustine, and we remember Ambrose and Gregory the Great. And we remember, case in point, our sermon text this morning, 2 Chronicles 29. For in 2 Chronicles 29, King Hezekiah reformed Judah and Jerusalem. And this passage, our sermon text, illuminates God's reforming work and how it relates to worship. When the Lord brings changes to his people, when he brings big changes, he does it first through worship reforms. specifically, if we remember our Bible history, the construction of the tabernacle came at a time where God was doing something mighty with his people. Later, he built the temple through his people. Pivotal times in Israel's history. In the books of Chronicles, 1 and 2, we read of King David's reforms with song. The Levite singers, the introduction of instruments in worship at the temple. We read of righteous kings, Hezekiah and Josiah, like David, bringing reformation through repentance and a greater focus on worship. And we hear of the former's changes today. King Hezekiah's father, Ahaz, described in 2 Chronicles 28, was not a good king in the land of Judah. 2 Chronicles 28, verse 19, the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he had encouraged moral decline in Judah and had been continually unfaithful to the Lord. That is the king of God's people. Moral decline. Continually unfaithful. Ahaz was wicked. He even carried out child sacrifice in the land of Judah. King Ahaz deformed worship with high places, offering incense to false gods. Ahaz went as far as to close the temple and to cut up the utensils that were in the temple. But we remember the line, post tenebrae lux. Post tenebrae lux, which means after darkness, light. After darkness, light. Out of death, the Lord brings resurrection. Out of a time of death, in Ahaz's reign, his deforming of worship, the Lord raised up a righteous king. Hezekiah did not follow his father, but instead brought reform to God's people. He began with worship. The Lord had judged Judah harshly in the days of Ahaz. He brought northern Israel. He brought the surrounding enemies of Edom and Philistia to judge Judah, to punish the faithless southern kingdom. This included taking captives from Judah into foreign lands. So when Hezekiah came to reign, Hezekiah focused on getting right with the Lord. Hezekiah recognized a connection with turmoil in the land and worship problems, worship sin, a deforming of worship. And barring a repentance, things could get worse for Judah, for the people of God. So Hezekiah began with worship reform. And we hear immediately Hezekiah got to work. The first day of the first month of the first year of his reign, Hezekiah opened up the temple. He put the priests and Levites to work in cleansing the temple. And when that was complete, the king called the assembly and he held worship at the temple. They offered sacrifices to Yahweh, sacrifices that Ahaz had ceased. Both purification, sin offerings, ascension offerings. God's people turning and worshiping him rightly. And after the priests offered these sacrifices, Hezekiah turned his attention to music. Music which was Judah's sacrifice of praise. The Levites with instruments, the priests with trumpets. As the ascension sacrifice went up from the altar, the songs joined it in the smoke and went up to the presence of God too. All the people worshiped through the sacrifices and through the songs, the sacrifice of praise. And they sang the Psalms. They sang the words of David and Asaph the seer. And we hear in verse 30, Judah worshiping. King Hezekiah and the leaders commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and Asaph the seer. So they sang praises until gladness. And they bowed their heads and worshiped. Yes, they sang until they were happy about singing. This was a national repentance of God's people. And it was initiated with a reform of worship and a reform of music. David had instituted music at the temple after there was silence at the tabernacle, with the exception of the trumpet to call the sacrifices. But Judah had drifted and ultimately rejected right worship of Yahweh during the days of King Ahaz. And the Lord brought his wrath, his judgment upon the people. And it was a good and righteous king restoring worship through sacrifices and faithful songs, singing God's word, praising him. Now the temple was at the center of Israel. It was the center of the whole world. God's people worship on behalf of the nations. So faithless worship from the people of God, neglect of worship's priority, leads to the degeneration of culture, the spread of immorality. Brothers and sisters, see this connection. Neglect of worship, wrong worship, flows out of the house of God and affects, leads to degeneration of culture. It leads to the spread of immorality. He who has ears, let him hear. Bad worship leads to bad culture. Judah's moral decline was precipitated by a worship decline. But a righteous king, leading a cleansed and faithful priesthood, brought about a reformation for the people of God. Hezekiah's reforms in worship flowed out to bless the nation of Judah, to bless the people and those around them. For when our ways are right with the Lord, he makes even our enemies to be at peace with us. Ahaz, worship deform, chaos, violence, wrath, reformation, right worship, prosperity, and peace. And throughout the history of redemption, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the Lord brings reformation to worship, and through that, he blesses his people for the better. Before the Reformation, the world was in a stage of darkness. Islam was on the rise. God's people had especially drifted into immorality. And God, by his grace, raised up reformers. Even before the days of the Reformation, he raised up Wycliffe, Huss, and Zwingli in Luther's day. And the church has had this blessing previously in history with other reformers. And with Reformation comes faithful doctrine. With Reformation comes worship reforms. Because worship is the central act of faith of the people of God. What is the most important thing we do? Worship. What are we being shaped and changed to do? Worship. We stand before the holy presence of God. We pray to him. We sing to him. And we ask him to change the world. We ask him that our leaders would govern rightly, that wickedness would be punished by the sword. Is that happening today? Is wickedness being punished in our nation? We pray that the Lord would bless his church, that we could worship, that we could minister, and that we could serve in peace. For these are all gracious gifts of God. These are the things for which we ask every Lord's Day in our prayers. We go before the throne of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, and we ask him to change the world. One of the changes in the Reformation regarding worship was the participation of the congregation. Pre-Reformation, instead of one priest standing before the people doing all the work, and the only one enjoying communion while the people watched, the reformers restored the priesthood of all believers. Everybody worships. Everybody feasts with God. The reformers also restored congregational singing, where everybody sings. So worship reform with singing, worship reform with eating. The reformers restored psalm singing to the church, the hymnal of the reformers. And this change influenced worship, but it also changed people's interactions and culture. For example, in the face of persecution, Christians, the French Huguenots, and the Scottish Covenanters would sing a version of Psalm 68, which was our opening song in worship. They sang Psalm 68 in the face of persecution, and it strengthened them to endure, to persevere. And it got to be such a problem for the persecuting governing authorities that they outlawed the singing of Psalm 68. No more singing God's word. So the people hummed it for encouragement, for strength. Because the singing of the word, the singing of the word of God's people, that unites us to Jesus Christ, who has the rod of iron, who has the sword. It unites us to him because he is singing to the Father. He is our high priest. We join with him in song. And the church, from that, from psalm singing, we write and we sing psalm-like hymns. Because those are the types of songs God likes. Like the song we sang last Lord's Day, Mighty Lord, Extend Your Kingdom, which is inspired by Psalm 110. These are the type of songs to which God responds and God changes the world. And when we sing them, our songs ascend, like the saints in Judah during Hezekiah's day. As the reformers reformed worship with psalm singing, we follow their wisdom. We follow their faithful leadership. As the people of God in this day, we learn, we love, and we sing God's word and his songs. All of them. All 150 psalms. Other spiritual songs of Scripture. We sing by faith because they are God's songs. He likes these songs. Yes, some psalms are tough to sing. But they make us tough by singing them. They cut us up as a living sacrifice. Personally, we may find it difficult to sing psalms of lament or imprecatory psalms because right now they don't connect to our present day, our experience as Christians. But brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we sing with the church, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church around the world. Somewhere in this world, a brother or sister is lamenting. And when we sing psalms of lament, we unite with that lament, with that brother or sister. Somewhere in this world, Christians are being persecuted. And we carry their petitions through our prayers and our songs before the throne of God. We confess this for the church before Jesus Christ. And we ask him to bless, to protect his church. For the church of Jesus Christ, if singing scripture, if singing psalm-like songs is uncomfortable, this will take time. The Reformation didn't happen in one day, nor did it happen in just one generation. We will sing. We will sing together until the Spirit changes us to like God's music. And brothers and sisters, make no mistake, we will sing until we are joyful. As we as the Church of Jesus Christ commit to this faithfulness, we may be like the Levites in Hezekiah's day, those who were faithful until the rest of God's worshipers, his priests, got in line. Brothers and sisters, the Reformation was a grassroots movement. It started on the ground and it worked up. It was through faithful, everyday Christians worshiping and working for the Lord. And through faithfulness over time, the Lord brought change. The Lord brought growth. The Lord brought reformation throughout the world. It also happened through local churches. Brothers and sisters living with one another and singing with one another. One theologian said that a church that sings together fights together. And if we in this nation, the Church of Jesus Christ, if we are headed for a trial, if we are headed for some persecution in our near future, now we need the Spirit to knit us together, stronger and stronger with the bonds that only He makes through regular worship and song. The rally cry of the Reformation, Semper Reformanda, always reforming, is not limited to the 16th and 17th centuries. That rally cry is for all time. Always reforming according to the Word of God. That means reforming us according to the Word of God. So we must examine ourselves first. We must examine our house first. Christ Church, commit to loving and learning all of God's Word, this reading plan most of you are participating in. If you're not, there is the weekly lectionary readings in our liturgy. Commit to daily consumption of the Word of God. Learn the songs of God. As mentioned, those 150 psalms, the songs of the Red Sea, of Moses, of Deborah, of Hannah, the New Covenant songs of Zechariah and Simeon. Learn those songs. Those songs are our priority. Those are the songs that God wrote. And let us hear Christ Church, let us build a church culture of music. Train our children to love music, to learn good and beautiful music, and to make music. Johann Sebastian Bach lived as a Lutheran in Germany from 1685 to 1750, the tail end of the Reformation. How much was he affected by the changes in the church, in worship, and culture? How much did the Reformation form Johann Sebastian Bach? And the church is blessed by the Spirit's work in and through him. Are we training up the next generation of musicians? It's the most important thing we do. It's more important than math and reading. Because we worship here every week. And we will spend forever worshiping. If you look on the inside front cover of your liturgy, Jeremiah 1, verses 9 and 10. The Lord said to Jeremiah, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." The Lord reveals that he tears down and he builds up by his word. And his prophets had that responsibility to bring the word to tear down worlds and to build them up. That's how God makes new. The church and a church that loves the word, that commits to the word, that sings the word, has a similar opportunity. And we should take that by faith. Martin Luther went to the word. John Calvin went to the word. They were prophets of their day. And the Lord tore down something old, something bad, put it away, and built up something new by his word. And it can happen in this day. We should take it by faith. Trust in his word to change us. Believe faithful worship by the word will change the world. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but through time. Faithful worship that honors God, that is his way. Believe it is right and efficacious. Sing and believe. Believe that he will reform his church from the idolatrous practices of this day and restore his church to right and reverent worship of him. Let this church be faithful to his design and trust his promises. And whatever else is happening in the world and with other churches, we are faithful to the world. We pray before his holy throne. We sing to his holy throne. And we will, by the power of the Holy Spirit, persevere in faithfulness. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, of whose only gift it comes to your faithful people to do unto you true and laudable service, grant, we ask, that we may run without stumbling to obtain your heavenly promises through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.